Okay, we're on Daf Memalef today. We're on the top line in the Mishnah, Memalef Amud Aleph 41a. So the Mishnah says, now the main yisod in this Mishnah is that moda b'knas patur. In other words, if a person is he admits that he owes a knas, so he's exempt from paying it. And Rashi brings down the limud from the Gemara. On the second wide line in Rashi upstairs, so Rashi brings down b'bava kama naftalan moda b'knas patur mi'afir yashian Elohim l'shon chol kat marshid atzmo. So it says in Torah, Elohim, whoever it means the Bezdin, whoever the Bezdin convicts, you know, requires to pay the money, he says that they you know, Yishleim Shneim, he'll pay Kefel. So Chazal understand that this, if the Bezdin says you have to pay Kefel, you pay Kefel. But if you're Motor B'Knas, you're Patur, you're off the hook from it. So with that claw, you get through the whole Mishnah here with this. So the Mishnah says, Manitin, Ha'omer, Titi et Bitosho Ploni. Let's say a person says, he confesses, I seduced X's daughter. So Mishalim Boshet Bekam al Piatzmo, so the Boshet Bekam, which are the substantive damages, the embarrassment, and the Bekam we learned is her devaluation, that he pays. The A Mishalim Kanas, but the Kanas of 50 Shkalim, that he doesn't have to pay, which he would only have to pay anyway if he didn't marry her, but even if he doesn't marry her, he does not pay, because Motor Bekas Patur. Ha'omer Ganavti, and then there's some Sfarim that have here the words, if a person says, I stole the sheep, and if you have the Svar Macherim, and I slaughtered it or sold it, Mishtalim et a Karen al Piatzmo. So if he admits that he did it, so the Karen that he definitely owns, he's got to pay that. But the payment of Kefo, which would be double, or if it's more aggravated, the Tavach u'Machar, and it depends whether it's a sheep or an ox, that he doesn't pay. Let's say a person says, I confess my shor killed Ploni. So again, in the Torah, if a person's shor kills someone, so he has to pay a kofar. A kofar is the value. So it's not cloaked in the Gemara, whether it's the main mazik or the main nizak, but it's connected. Rashi says over here on the fourth wide line that the Tan of our Mishnah holds the kufra mamona. The Tan of our Mishnah holds that kofar is a din in mamon. So that would go better with the tzad that's the main nizak. In other words, you give the value of the person that was killed. So he meets Sharia Ploni, Oshorosho Ploni, or my shore killed another shore, I raised the Mishalim al Piatzmo. There he'll pay al Piatzmo, because the Tan of our Mishnah holds that Kofar is a din in Mamon, it's not a din in Knas. He meets Shoreen Adosho Ploni. If he says, my ox killed X's Eved Kinani, Ein Mishalim al Piatzmo. That is a Knas, it's 30 Shkalim, and from the Malach and the Mishnah, and Rablah was saying this to me as well, it sounds like the 30 shkalim is worth a lot more than the Eved, but this he would not pay. Zehaklal, here's the overarching principle the Mishnah says, Kol HaMishalim Yeter, Kol HaMishalim Yeter Al Masha Hizik, if you pay more than the amount that you damaged, Ein Mishalim Al Piyatzma. In other words, if I'm paying, the Torah, you know, Dana, can you just move a little to your left? I want to see Mayor, okay? Well, I like to have a line of sight, okay? So if the Torah says I have to pay more than the amount that I damage, that would be a sign that it's a knas, and you know, Ein Mishalim al Piatzmo. Okay, so the basic klal in the Mishnah is what I said initially. Motor b'knas is patur, but the Karen, he's chayav for that. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything he did in the Mishnah? Everybody good? Okay, let's keep moving. So now the Gemara says, V'litni anasti. So why is it that the Tana, the first case in the Mishnah, we have that onus and mafata, they sort of go hand in glove. We learned that they're linked by Gzeres Shava. So the Tana Mishnah says, if he says, Pititi ebito shaploni, I seduced X's daughter. Why didn't he teach me the case of anasti? I raped someone's daughter. And if you look at the top Tosfos on the left-hand column, blinding anasti, that'd be chidish tvei. So Tosfos takes it. It would be a bigger chidish if he taught me the case of anasti, de patur, apagav de modesha sapritzit. In other words, it's teaching me that I'll be patur on the knas, even though I'm admitting like I did an act of tremendous priestess. In other words, like I, you know, violated sort of like the, you know, the like I raped a woman, you know, I violated her, you know, I violated the peace of the community. And nevertheless, motive knas to be patur the b'chiddush. Although the article quoted that other Rishonim just want to say, why not for the complete? You'll see in a minute. There's a little difficulty in the Gemara. We'll see in a minute. So the Gemara says, v'litni anasti. So the Gemara says, lo mi baya ka'amar. So the Gemara says that the Malach in the Mishnah is, it's like goes without saying. This goes against what Tosos was saying. The Do you need a Gemara? We have Gemaras if you need. Okay, we have more Gemara. Okay, you're happy? Okay, good. Okay. All right. So he says, so the litany anasti lomi bayakamar. So we're on Mem Aleph and Aleph around the 10th line. So he says, the litany anasti lomi bayakamar. The malach and the Mishnah is like there's two malachs, and so he wants to say it goes without saying. Lomi bay anasti lo kapagim lo the mishalim boshet begam al piatzmo. In other words, if he says anasti, he's not like impugning her. In other words, in terms of the two parties, in other words, the man and the woman. So if Reuven says, I raped Rachel, so he's not imputing any wrongdoing to Rachel. I did everything that was wrong. So he says, Loma by Anas, look, Kapagim Lord, the Mishalim Boshet Begam, Al Piatzmo. So Al Piatzmo, I could be Mechayiv myself, Boshet Begam. The only one I'm Mechayiv is myself. I'm not doing anything to anybody else. In other words, I confess what I did in the past, but my statement is enough to be mechayev me. Aval pititi, but I would have thought if I come to the Beis Din and I said I seduced this girl, meaning that Reuven says I and Rachel got together and we had intimacy, the kapagim law. So that's already imputing like sort of wrongdoing on her as well. So I would think that the Beis Din can't necessarily accept such a plea without evidence. In other words, he's coming. It's nice that you admit that Petiti, but you're, you know, for schmutzing her reputation. He said, Ema, lo mishalim al piyatzmo. So I would have had a havamina say that that's not enough to be mishalim al piyatzmo. Maybe he wants to say, he admits, yeah, he Petiti. So you want to say you're a fiend or whatever, but that has an impact on what you're saying about everybody else in the community. So maybe he can't be mechayiv himself. So kamashvalan. So kamashvalan, the Mishnah is teaching me not that way, that he could. Now, but the Gemara says, Manit and Gloki Haitana. Says our Mishnah, having explained our Mishnah is not in accordance with the following Tana. The Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda says the name of the Tana Rabbi Shimon, which is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. We know that after we people. So the Tana Rabbi Shimon, that which the Tana of our Mishnah rejects, Rav Shimon in the Mishnah and the Braisa adopts that. In other words, he says, Boshet Begam, presumably talking about a case of Petiti, if a guy walks into Beis Din and says, I seduced Sar Rachel, he says, Ein Mishalim Al Piatmo. Lo Koli Menu Shif Gom Bito Shoponi. It's not within his koach to just impugn, you know, ex's daughter, like Sar Rachel. So that's the end of the Braisa. Let me just do a few more lines, then I'll pause for questions, comments, and thoughts. So I'm Le Rav Papa La Baye. So Rav Papa says to Baye, Nihila Ladi Damai. Now we're working within the sheet of Reb Shimon. What if she says, I don't care. I want the money. Let's go for it. I want money. I don't care about the reputation. So according to the Tanya Reb Shimon, can the Beis Din then accept that argument? So the Gemara says, Dil Velo Nihila Labia. So even if she's happy with it, maybe her father's not happy with it. It's like an implication. Rafi was here the other night. He was asking me about like the bullshit for the family. So here it gets into a little bit of it, but like a little bit of a different angle. He says, so the Gemara says, Lo Nichol Elavia, my. What if she's good with it? The father's good with it? So then can the Beis Din accept it? Dilma lo Nichol Elu L'Bnei Mishpacha. Maybe the other members of the family are not happy with it. Nichol Elu L'Bnei Mishpacha, my. What if the other members of the family are happy with it? Yif Shorat L'Kham Lino L'Yam Lo Nichol. There's somebody that's impacted, that's not happy with it. You know, they're not happy to hear about that whole thing. Okay, so let's just summarize what we did. Then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. So the issue that we got into was, what's the din of anasti? You know, if a man says he raped her. So the Gemara says, yeah, badai, anasti is also zelbazach. But there's more of a chiddush with pititi. The chiddush with the pititi is, even though he's admitting that he owes the, you know, the boshet, the begam, and the tsar, if it's, where the pititi, the boshet and the begam with pititi. So even though he admits he owes the boshet and begam, but he's implicating her in something which isn't so nice. So maybe the Beis Din cannot accept it on his statement alone without further evidence that indeed was the case. So the Tana of our Mishnah says, no, we can accept his statement, but the Tana of Reb Shimon in Hakinami holds that way, and we can't accept it. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything else so far?
No, if he incriminates the other girl that she was a willing...
partner.
Right. So number one, she would always deny it.
Yeah, you know, but the fact that the Beis Din is accepting it and saying now you pay the money, that it's like the Besdin is like giving its imprimatur that this is the way it is. But that's the way. That's the Malach. That's the thrust of the Gemara.
But can I come and say I was not billing rate?
She can say whatever she wants, but that's the.
Another point. The person comes and says, Anasti has bigger trouble to deal with. I mean, it's criminal. I mean, it's going to jail. In those days, the person would just come and admit, I raped this girl, and that's it. I'd give some money and you're
book. Yeah, he's not going to jail. Okay, that's it. Okay. Now, All right. He has a piece over here, but I think let's go on. Let me go on, and then we'll see where we go with it. So that's goof of what this thing was about to talk about here. So, all right, let me read it. So Yosef asked me, is this fact that he has to marry the girl, is that a kanas, or how do we view it? So he talks about differences here. He says, he summarizes the Gemara for everybody here, and we said motive b'knas is patur, but another difference between knas payments and mamon concerns the rank of the court adjudicating and collecting these payments. This is from the Aladaf by Rabbi Zev Dickstein. Whereas any type of court can adjudicate cases involving ordinary monetary payments, the Gemara Mem Aleph and Beis says that courts in Babel are not authorized to levy fines. In other words, knas has to be from a Beis in Eretz Israel. The Besdin is comprised of smuchim from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Rashi explains that this is because Babylonian judges are not dainim mumchim, expert ordained judges. Only ordained judges in Eretz Yisrael have the authority to levy fines. Thus, today, in the absence of dainim mumchim, the courts are only authorized to collect payment for Boshu Begam from a ma'anes and not a 50 shekel fine. So today, Lu Yitzur, this is something like this would happen that would come before a Besdin, Chas V'Shalom. So there's no din in the Knas. Now, the authorities debate, A, whether Ma'anes, who confesses to his crime, is exempt from the mitzvah of Lo Tielisha, which is what Yosef was asking me. Well, we'll see in a minute. We'll see. He says, and B, whether the mitzvah can be enforced today in the absence of ordained judges. So it's not going to be so pashut, obviously. So the Gemara says, Tosfos on the Menheim Rebeis writes, then Ma'anes incurs a stricter fine than Mefata, because in addition to the 50 shekel fine, a Ma'anes is forced to marry his victim, whereas Mefata does not. Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman infers from the words of Tosfos that the obligation for Ma'anes to marry an Anusa is not an Ori Mitzvah, but rather is classified as a Kanas. So Rabbi Elchanan deduces from Tosfos that, in other words, Kanas is not only money, Kanas is obligation to marry her is also a Kanas. Since it is considered a kanas, it follows accordingly that A, a ma'anes is not obligated to marry his victim unless there are witnesses, but not by his own admission. And B, the mitzvah cannot be enforced today since we do not have ordained judges. So according to that malach, the marriage is the kanas, and so everything flows from that. The Sefer Achinuch writes that although today in the absence of dayanim mumchim, the court lacks the authority to levy a fine on one who violates an ara betula, the ma'anes still has an obligation to marry his victim because the mitzvah Lo Tielisha is not a penalty or fine, rather an ordinary mitzvah. So it's coming out to be the way Rabbi Elchanan understands the machloket between the Bali Tosfot and the Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch notes that according to the Sefer Chinuch, it emerges that even if the Ma'anes confesses to his crime and obtains an exemption from paying his fine, he's still obligated to marry the Anusa, since the obligation of Lo Tielisha is an ordinary mitzvah, not a fine. Okay, so Adkan, we saw it's a machloket. The answer to your question is a machloket. That's a simple answer. Now, the Maharshal indicates that a Ma'anes is forced to marry his victim not as a punitive measure, but to remedy the injustice that he did to her, since after being defiled, he may not be able to find anyone to marry her. The Smak asserts that if the Ma'anes is a married man, and thus is unable to marry his victim, due to Rabbeinu Gershon's ban on polygamy, he's obligated to provide her with a generous dowry, making her a more attractive mate, and thereby helping her find a suitable husband. The Tashbait says that when the Mishnah says a Mafata is not forced to marry the Mafuta, a girl he defiled, does not mean the mitzvah does not apply to Mafata altogether. This means that in contrast to Ma'anes, Mafata is not forced to perform the marriage. However, if he decides to marry the Mafuta, he fulfills the mitzvah of Lo Tiel Isha. He says, moreover, the Tashbait says that this mitzvah applies even in the case of a defiled Bogeret, even though the Torah did not impose the 50 shekel knas in the case of Bogeret. So according to Tashbait, there's still a mitzvah to marry her. In other words, Mafata is not obligated to do it, but there'd be a mitzvah for it. Okay. Any questions, comments, that we did? We're moving on. Okay? All right. Let's take a look. Okay, we're on Mem Aleph, Mem Aleph, then midway down the column. Okay, now, we said in the Mishnah, Ha'omer Ganafti, Mishalim Karen V'chulei. So if somebody says, he admits that he stole something, So he only pays the Karen, he doesn't pay Kefil, doesn't pay our Baba Kamisha. So the Gemara is going to have a raya from our conversation, and then at the bottom of the Amud, going to the next stop, we're going to connect it to our Mishnah. Itmar, Palda Nizka. Now, this is almost like a sugi in Baba Kama. It's talking about Chatzi Nezek. So just to refresh everybody's recollection, the Torah says it's a short tam, so the Mazik pays Chatzi Nezek. A short Muad, he pays Nezek Shalem. And when we say Chatzi Nezek, so if you remember, the Gemara Baba Kama learns for the shor, there are three elements of damage. There's Shein, Regel, and Karen, right? So Shein v'Regel, you always pay Nezek Shalem. There is no shor tam. The Shein v'Regel, you always pay everything. It's by the Karen, and the Karen doesn't mean only goring, but it means goring, but there's also a toldos of it, like when the animal rubs against something, things like that. So Karen is an aberrant behavior. It's not the typical behavior of the animal. And the Torah says, you're chayav chatzi nezek. So there's going to be a question when the Chazal teach us, and the Torah teaches that it's chatzi nezek, is that a kenas or is that mamon? We'll see in a minute. So back in the Gemara. So itmar pal ganizka, which means chatzi nezek, rapapa mar pal ganizka mamon. Rapapa says, chatzi nezek has been in mamon. Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yeshua mar pal ganizka kenas. Rav Huna says, it's a kenas. How so? Rapapa mar pal ganizka mamona, sabar shtam shvarim la b'cheska shimor kaini. So Rapapa holds like this, that again, everybody agrees, like the typical shore, you know, doesn't go around goring. That's the way the Gemara takes it. But on occasion, you know, like a Yotzi Dofen will do it. So Rapapa holds that you're on notice as the owner to keep watch of your shore, even if it's short time. Uvedinu de Mishal and Kula. So really, technically, a Pialaka, you should pay the whole enchilada, even though he's a short time. But the Torah has Rachmanis on the person because he was never put on notice. In other words, if he's sure Muad, he gores twice, then he or three times Machloket, Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel. So then you're on notice that it's got problems. But in Achinami, technically, you should have guarded the shore totally. So it's a din and mamon. It's when he paid Chatzi Nezek, that's a din and mamon according to Rav Papa. Rav Huna b'Rav Yeshua Amar, Palganiz Kenasa. Rav Huna son of Rav Yeshua says, no, Chatzi Nezek is din and kenas. How so? Savar shtam shvarim b'cheskat shimor kaimi. He holds that a shore, if I don't know anything about it, it's, you know, I can assume it's going to behave, you know, relatively well. It's not going to go goring people. So technically, I shouldn't, if it went and gored somebody, I shouldn't have to pay anything for it or gored another animal. He says, V'rachmanu hu tekanse kiheki dinintre l'tore. The Torah penalizes him so that he'll do an extra level of shmira, but technically, it's just a kanas that the Torah is imposing. Okay, let's just summarize again. So the Gemara here, again, this is really like a sugi in Baba Kama, but the Gemara is discussing chatzi nezek. So if a shor tam gores another shor or gores a person and causes damage, so the owner of the shor tam is kind of chatzi nezek. Chatzi nezek is like a red flag. Why is it chatzi nezek? In other words, if I owe the money, I should pay nezek shalem. And if I don't owe the money, why should I pay anything? So there's two ways to go about it. So we're saying that it's very aberrant that the shore will gore somebody or something. But how do I view that? That the Torah says, v'chatzu et kaspo, that I have to pay. So one way to view it is that even though it's aberrant, but the Torah expects me to guard my shore, but since the shore was not a shore mu'ah, the Torah gives me a break, I only pay chatzi nezek. The other way is, no, it's reasonable for me to, you know, say that I don't have to do it, but the Torah imposes the penalty so that I'll go the extra 9 yards and do extra shmirah for the shore. Okay, so that's it. So it's either mamon or knas. Okay, who's the question comes from sending it so far? No. It could be a dog too. Every animal. But here we're talking about Karen, though. So it has to be the type of damage that would be done with Karen. So Karen is goring. Karen is like rubbing against the wall. I don't know if the biting it would be Karen. Shane is really... Shane is more eating, but biting might be Shane also. I have to check the Gemara and Baba Kama, okay?
Sorry, how do you understand Adam le'olam mu'ad, but right. Animals are not?
You explained it. Take away the question mark and you have the answer. Okay. All right. Let's go back into the Gemara. Okay. So we're in the sugya, whether chatzi nezek is mamon or kanas. So let's see the two dots. So we're still in the sugya. The Gemara is going to try to be mevarer. The rest of the parak is going to deal with is chatzi nezek, mamon or kanas. So siman hezik ma behemid klal. So those simanim, the mnemonic devices, for each one of those four words, it's like for a different piece. So tonight we learn the Mishnah in Sechet Bava Kama, hanizak ba mazik b'teshlumin, that the nizak is the injured party, and the mazik is the one who's doing the injury, are both participating in the tashlumin, in the compensation. So we're trying to understand these lines in the, and again, we're eventually going to come to our Mishnah. He says, b'shleim l'man damar palgan is kamamona. So if I say chatzi nezek is a din in mamono, so hainu d'shayach nizak b'teshlumin. So then I understand. In other words, let's say my shore gored his animal. It caused $1,000 worth of damage. I only pay $500 in damage. So it means, let's say Reuben and Shimon. Reuben shore gored Shimon's shore and caused $500 worth of damage. Reuben's going to pay $500 and Shimon is going to eat $500. So it means, in essence, they're both contributing to the Tashlumin. So I understand the Mishnah. So if I say that, if I say that Chatzi Nezek is the Nimamon, I understand the Mishnah. Elamandabar palganizka knasa, but according to the Tzad that says Chatzi Nezek is didn't knas, Hashlav deka shakil b'teshlumin ita. So, in other words, knas means it's not a din in teshlumin. So, in other words, I'm already getting whatever I get is icing on the cake. In other words, his shore damaged my shore. So, strictly up here, he shouldn't pay me anything, but he's already given me $500. So how am I contributing? In other words, how am I contributing to Teshlumin? In other words, whatever I'm getting is like a gift. Yeah, bonus. So how do I understand the Mishnah if I say that again? So that's Rabuna, but Rabbi Yeshua says, Pagagan is a knaska. So the Gemara says, Lo Nisracha el Pachat Nevela. So the Gemara says, it's talking about the din in Pachat Nevela. In other words, let's say your shore injures my shore. And the damage is, and let's say it kills my shore. So my shore was worth $1,000. So now, half of the damages would be $500, but I have to subtract out the value of the nevela, the carcass. So let's say the carcass of the animal was worth $500. It was you killed my shore, and now let's say the carcass of my animal is worth $500. So now the measure of damages is now half of the 500. So you owe me $250 because I have a carcass. The carcass is worth 500. But now let's say the carcass depreciates between the time the shore gored it until we go to Besdin. So now that's called Pachat Nevela. So let's say Pachat Nevela. Now when we go to Besdin, the Nevela is worth $300. So who's responsible for that extra 200? So the halacha is you're going to pay half to 500, but I'm responsible for Pachat Nevela. Whatever depreciation in Nevela occurs, that's on my ticket. So that in that way, I'm contributing towards the Tashlumin. Tashlumin means like completion of the whole amount. He says, Lonis Pachat Nevela. So the Gemara says, okay, that's a nice pshat, but Pachat Nevela Tanina. But I already learned Pachat Nevela is a brisa, and the brisa is commenting on a different part of the Mishnah. So Rashi brings down the Mishnah, says elsewhere in Baba Kama, Mishalim Teshlumi Nezek Meitav Ha'aretz, that the wrongdoer pays Teshlumi Nezek Meitav Ha'aretz, like with the best of property that he has. So that for reasons that I'll explain shortly, will be a Shor Muad. But we'll see in a minute. So he says, so the Braisa says, Tanina, Teshlumi Nezek, what does the Tana of the Mishnah mean, Teshlumi Nezek? Vomei Shabalim Metaplim Benavela. So the Tana has already taught me, as explained by the Braisa, that the Nizak participates by Pachat Nevela. In other words, we already know that. So he says, Chata B'tam, L'chata B'mot. So the Gemara says, one clause the Mishnah is referring to a Shor Tam. The other clause is talking about a Shor Muad. I mean, it's teaching me that the Din, that the Baalim, the owners of the injured Shor, or the dead Shor in this case, have to be Metapel B'Nevela. They're responsible to be involved with the carcass, and whatever the carcass depreciates is on their shoulders. The Tana teaches me twice. But he teaches them both by the Shor Tam and by the Shor Muad. He says, Utsricha, it was necessary to teach me both. He says, D'yashmin Tam, if the Tana only taught me this din by a Shor Tam, Mishum Dakati Lo Yai. So I would say that by the Shor Tam, we're going to give the tortfeasor, the wrongdoer, a break. Because again, he wasn't, it wasn't muad, he wasn't on notice that this animal was so dangerous. So therefore, we're going to shift over, like the pachat nevela, the depreciation in the carcass, over to the injured party. About muad, but I would think, if he only told me about this short time, if the person's owner, Shur Muad, died, he was warned, you know, several times. He knows he's got like this, you know, a horrible like pit bull or whatever in his premises. Aim alone. So I would say no. I would say that the pachat nevela is on the wrongdoers. The Yeshmin and Muad, and if the Tana only told me by a Shur Muad that the Shur Muad gets his break with pachat nevela, in other words, from the wrongdoer's perspective, it's a break. He says Mishum to Kamashalim Kula. So I say it's because he's already paying the whole damages already. So we give him a little bit like a bonus. He says about Tom, but Tom, where he's only paying Katsinezik, aim alone, Sricha. So the Tana had to teach me both cases. Okay. So again, we're dealing with the question, is it Chatzin Nezek Mamon or Chatzin Nezek Knas? And we asked the question against the Tzad that said Chatzin Nezek was Knas, to explain this Mishnah, Hanizek Mamazek Patesh Lumen. So we ended up explaining that there's a way to say it. It means Pachat Nevela, and the Mishnah mentions it twice, but it has to mention it, or as explained by the Braisa, but one by the Shur Tam, one by the Shur Muad. Okay, who's the question that comes to us? Anything that's Jabari, what's up?
Why would the Nevela price go down?
Because, like, it, you know, it, like, let's say it rots, it, you know, it goes down, you know, like, maybe the meat has a certain value. Other thing, in other words, let's say I leave a carcass in the pit for 2 weeks, you know, so it goes down. That's what the Torah is teaching. And so the injured party, that's his headache. He's got to take care of it. Okay. Now, again, it means like this. The value of the carcass is subtracted from the damages. So if the whole shore alive is worth $1,000, but the dead shore is worth $500, so the tortfeasor, the wrongdoer, is only the 500 total damages. Half of 500 is 250. Okay, let's get back. I got to keep moving in the mission because we don't have a deadline, but we don't want to be here till midnight. Okay, let's take a look at the Gemara. Okay, the second wide line on Mimalef Amud Aleph, okay? So again, we're on this issue about the Chatzi Nezek, whether it be Mamon or Knas. So Tashma. So again, the Gemara here is again quoting a piece of the Mishnah, Masechet Bava Kama. Mam Bein Tam Lemuad. What's the difference between a Shor Tam and a Shor Muad? Shatam Mishalim Chatzi Nezek Migufo. The Tam, your recovery, in other words, the injured party's recovery is limited to the animal that the value of the animal. So in other words, I can you know, seize the animal or the value of that animal. That's it. He says umuad mishalim nezek shalim in aliyah. But shor muad, then all your property is subject to a shiva for that. The lo katani shatamin mishalim al piatzmo umuad mishalim piatzmo. Now, if it would be true, as Rav Huna raised Rav Yeshua says, that chatzi nezek is a knas. So we know motor b'knas is patur. If you motor on a knas, it's patur. So if I'm asking what's between a short tam and a short muad, the Tana should list another difference between the two of them. And one is, the tam is enu mishalim apiatzmo. If the person comes forward, he says, my short did it, you know, so he, that's knas. So it's motor b'knas is patur, is what he should say. And muad mishalim apiatzmo. If I own a short muad and I say my short did it, then I'm chayiv. So the fact that the Tana does not mention that, that does not look good for Abu Nabi Rav Yeshua. The fact, so we're learning, we're making a deal, not just what the Mishnah says, what it doesn't say. So the fact that the Mishnah doesn't give that as a distinction between Tam and Muad, that makes me think that indeed that your motive with the Chatzi Nezek, you are a Chayit. So not a Knas. So the Gemara says Tana Bashir, not a problem, because the Tana doesn't always list every distinction. So I could say the Tana left it out. But it says my shear the high shear. So again, we know the klal. When the Tana leaves something out, he doesn't leave one item out. He would leave more than one item out. So if you're going to say he left it out, what else did he leave out? So the Gemara says shear chatzi kofer. So he left out chatzi kofer. So Rashi brings down, let's say my shear kills somebody, and he was a short tam. So if it's a short muad, so I have to, there's a kofer I have to pay. I pay like a ransom, like a value, and it's question was the main mazik, the main nizak, but I pay a sum of money. But let's say my short tam killed somebody, so do I pay a chatzi kofer? So according to the Chachamim, I don't pay a chatzi kofer, because the pasuk says, and Rashi brings it down, it says, It says Ubal Hashor Naki. It says that on the bottom line in Rashi, he says Bal Hashor Naki. So he says Naki Michatzi Koper. Because I'll darshan out that he's off the hook totally. So he left out that by a short tam there's no Chatzi Koper, and by a short Mu'ah there is a Koper. So he left that distinction out as well. So if that's the answer, then all our problems are solved for Rav Huna B'Zev Yerushua. So the Gemara says, "Imi Shem Chatzi Koper Lav Shiruhu." So the Gemara says, if you're going to say that's what he left out, that's not necessarily such a good candidate. So turn page on the memo of days, the top line says Hamani, because that Mishnah could go like Rabbi Yosi Glili, he the Amar Tam Mishalim Chatzi Koper. Rabbi Yosi Glili holds that a Tam is Mishalim Chatzi Koper. So according to Rabbi Yosi Glili, so Rav Huna has problems. Now, in the end, we're going to say like this. So Rav Huna, this is the way the article explained it. Rav Huna will explain the Mishnah that he left out two items. Rav Huna will go like the Chachamim. Rav Huna will say that the Chatzi Nezek is Kenas, and the Tana left it out because he also left out Chatzi Kofer. And then he, as far as he's concerned, he's done. But Rav Papa holds that Chatzi Nezek is Mamo. So there, he's going to have, so he can't say that he left out the part about Chatzi Knas. In other words, the motive of Knas Patur, because there's nothing to leave out with that. Nothing like that. So he, Rav Papa, has to explain the Mishnah like Rabbi Yosi Glili. In other words, he can't have the Chatzi Kopers that left out either. So Rav Papa will explain that the Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yosi Glili. And that's the way the Arso said Tosos explains it. Anyway, the bottom line is, we still have this machloket between Rav Papa and Rav Huna b'Rav Yoshua, where the Chatzi Nezek is Mamon, or Chatzi Nezek is Tanas. So we tried to ask a question against Rav Huna b'Rav Yoshua, but he was able to deflect it. So we're nowhere so far. Okay, now we're going to connect it up to our Mishnah on line 2 on the Melech of the Days. Tashma, he meets Shuri at Ploni. So our Mishnah says, if somebody comes to Bezdin, Reuben comes to Bezdin, and he says, my Shur killed Shimon. Oh, Shurosho Ploni. Or my Shur killed Shimon's Shur. I raise him. Please, let's just wait. Hareza Mishalim al Piatmo. So the Tana Mishnah says, he, the person who admits that way, has to pay the money. So my love, Batam, is it not talking about a Tam? Now, we're talking about a short Tam, and he says that my Shur killed X's Shur, and he's Mishalim al Piatmo. So that doesn't work out well to Rav Huna b'Rav Yoshua. Rav Huna b'Rav Yoshua says Knas, and Motor B'Knas is Patur. So how does Tomai Labatam? Lo, B'Muad. So no, we could say that our mission is talking about a Shur Muad. So no question. Aval B'Tam Moi. So what would be the din by a Tam? Ein Mishalim al Piatmo. So if in Achinami it'd be a Shur Tam, he wouldn't be Mishalim al Piatmo. So the Gemara says, Adatani Seifa. So then the Tana wants to teach me a case where he's Mishalim al Piatmo and a case where he's not Mishalim al Piatmo. So instead of teaching me in the Seifa of the Mishnah, Abdo Shaploni in Mishalim al Piatmo, that if my Shur killed somebody's Eved, the Torah says you have to pay 30 Shkalim, but that's a Kanas, so in Mishalim Piatmo. So he has a case where he's Chayev. He says that, in other words, he's teaching the case my Shur, Muad, we think, killed somebody. So he's Mishalim al Piatmo. But if, and again, we said the Tana of our Mishnah holds that Kofer is Mamona, the Kofer is Mamon, he holds. He says, but he, or you could say if he says it killed somebody, sure. He's Mishalim Piatmo, so it's talking about Shur Muad. He says, but he has a case, but the case that he wants to say you're off the hook is when I say my Shur killed an Eved. Then he's off the hook. So instead of doing that, Tani Seifa Abdosha Ploni Mishalim Piatmo, Niflo Venet Midida. Why don't we keep the fact pattern the same way? And let's keep everything with just Shur. Niflo Venet Midida, Bamevurim Bamuad. If it's Shur Muad, he pays al Piatmo. Aval Tam, but if it's Shur Tam, ain't a Mishalim al Piatmo. So the Gemara says, Kula Bamuad Kamari. So there's two ways to dice up the Mishnah. In other words, one way to dice up the Mishnah is to say, the Mishnah is just telling you about a Shur Muad. And then I have a case where he's Chayav al Piatmo and a case where he's Patro al Piatmo. The other way would be that I just have a case with one Shur that's a Muad and Shur is a Tam. But it's six and one half dozen the other. Either way, whether I shift, I keep the Shur as a Muad and I say one is talking about killing a Shur and a person, one's killing an Eved, or One is, I'd say it's one's a shor muad and one's a shor tam, and it's killing another shor. Either way, I have to change the fact pattern, but the fact pattern change isn't so significant either way. So it's six and one, a dozen the other. The bottom line, we had a question against Rav Huna Rav Yeshua. We're able to deflect that question. Okay, let me just do one more, then I'll come to a pause, another 10 lines, okay? So Tashma, again, we're trying to adduce a proof from our Mishnah. And this proof we think will be good, but we'll see. Tashma, Zaha Klal, Kol Mishalim Yeter Al Masha Hizik. So the Mishnah says at the end of the Mishnah, whoever has to pay more than the value of what he damaged, Ein Mishalim Al Piatmo. He's not Mishalim Al Piatmo, because that's a telltale sign that it's a Kenas. If the Torah says I have to pay more, then let's say the Shloshim for the Eved, so the Eved might be worth one shekel, but I have to pay 30 shekelim for the Eved because my Eved might short kill them. So that's a kenas. So I'm in Mishalim Al Hizik. But the implication of the Mishnah is that if I have to pay less than he damaged, he says Mishalim Al Piatzmo, that I would be Mishalim Al Piatzmo. Less than what I damaged, what would that be? That would be a short tam. The other was a short tam is probably Mishalim Chasin Ezek. So the logical implication of the Mishnah is that if he damaged less than the amount of damages, then he is Mishalim Al Piatzmo, so that can't be a kenas. It has to be mamon. So that's a kash against Rav Huna Rav Yeshua. So the Gemara says, "Lo tema pachot masha hizik." Don't make that deduction. El ema hakama shehizik mishalim al piatzmo. In other words, if he's mishalim more, he can't be mishalim al piatzmo. If he's mishalim exactly the amount that he damaged, that he could be mishalim al piatzmo. And in economic, if it's less, he's also not mishalim al piatzmo. But pachot mai ain't mishalim al piatzmo. So if that's the case, the Gemara says, "Litni zeh klal." So if that's what the Tana means, so the Tana should formulate the rule as follows. Litni Zahaklal, Kol She'inu Mishalim Kama Shehezik, that anyone who doesn't pay the amount that he damaged, Einu Mishalim Al Piatzmo, if it's more or less. But he says, Demashma Pacho, Demashma Yater. So Tiyufta, so the Gemara says, that's Akasha against Rav Huna Rav Yeshua. So again, Rav Huna Rav Yeshua says, Chatzi Nezek is a Dinan Knas. So Dinan Knas, Al Piatzmo, on Patur. And the Mishnah says, if you pay more than the amount you damaged, then you're Eino Mishalim Piatzmo. If it's Mashmo, if you pay less, then you are Chayiv. And the Gemara says, I could say the same amount, but then the Mishnah should say, if it's the way Rav Huna, the Tana should say, whoever doesn't pay the amount that he damaged is not Mishalim Piatzmo. But Tana doesn't say that. So that sounds like a kashkin for Rav Huna B'Rav Yeshua. So but the Gemara says, V'hilch T'palkan Nizgit Kenasa. But the Gemara says the halacha nevertheless is like Rav Huna Rav Yeshua. So the Gemara says, Tiyufta Behilkata, there's a kash against him, and yet you say the halacha is like him? In. Tamama Yitotav, why did you say that he's all up kishlak, Nishum Dol Katani, Kamashi Zik? Because the Tana didn't say whoever damages the amount that he damaged, then he's Mishalma Piatzmo. So he says, the reason he didn't say that, Lopsikale, because he can't absolutely say that. In other words, he can't say the rule is always that if you're moted the amount that you owed, then you're Mishalim Al Piatzmo, unless not. He can't make that absolutely. Why? Kemadika Chatzinezek Sroro to Hilkata Gemirila the Mamonahu. So you may recall from Bava Kama. So the Gemara has Chatzinezek Sroro. If the animal is walking in the street and it kicks up like pebbles, and the pebbles do damage, so it's halakha mashami Sinai, the yachayv chatzi nezek, but that's a din in mamon. That's a din in, that's chatzi nezek sororot, that's a din in mamon. So chatzi nezek sororot is a type of damage that the person with less than the amount of damages, but the person admits that he is chayv. So he can't say that absolutely, that it's only if you admit, you know, the amount you damaged. If you admit the lesser, it's always true. So mishum haki lo katani, therefore he doesn't learn that case. So the Gemara concludes, halacha is like Rav Huna Rav Yeshua, that chatzi nezek is the din in knas. So the Gemara says, v'hashda amri palgan iska knasa. Now you're saying that chatzi nezek is the din in knas, hai kalba the achal imre. So if you have a dog, this is quite a ferocious dog, that eats sheep, the shunra the achil tarnagoli ravave, and a cat that eats big chickens, mishunahu, v'lomagbina bababel. So it means like this, if it's doing something like aberrant behavior, out of the ordinary, that's a tolda of Karen. That's a tolda of Karen. So that being the case, that you said that Karen that Tati Nezek is a din in Knas. So a din in Knas, so we said the Bati Din in Bavel could not judge Dine Knasot. Today we don't judge Dine Knasot. So if that's the case, if that's the back pattern, if Reuven's dog, you know, ate Shimon's sheep, or which is the Mishuna, he says, or Reuven's cat ate somebody's big chickens, that's Mishuna who will be Bavel, Zutre, but if it's like a small chicken, that's orchu, that's more natural, and then that would be like shane, that would be like the more natural, the more natural thing, right? Is that shane or one second, Rashi has somewhere. Yeah, that's shane. So he says, the itafa slomach kinimine, but even in the case of kenas, if the injured party sees some of the wrongdoer's property, we would leave it with him. The amar equal zimna l'eretz Israel. And if, let's say, Reuven's, you know, dog killed Shimon's sheep. So if Shimon says to the Bezdin, I want to go to Eretz Israel, I want to go to Din Torah with Reuven. So he says, Makbinalei, we're Koveya time, be lo Aziel, and Reuven doesn't go with him, Mishamtinalei, then we put him in Cherem. Beinkach uBeinkach Mishamtinalei, and here's the, Ed, this is a Sugifu. Beinkach uBeinkach Mishamtinalei, but anyway, we would put Reuven, if he's got a dog or a cat like that, in Cherem, the Amrina Lei, because he would say to him, Salik Hazekha means Rabbi Natan, that you have to like kill this animal, get him, this animal is too dangerous to have around our society. The Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, that's talking about where it killed the sheep or the cat with the big chicken. The Tanya, Rabbi Natan Omer, how do we know a person should not raise like a bad, you know, like a vicious dog in his house? He shouldn't have like a rickety ladder in his house. Don't put a dangerous instrumentality in your house. So this talks about the topic about having a pet dog, but there's more to speak about. There's another sugya in Masechet Shabbat, you may recall, in the first parak, where it says, Kol ha-megadel kelav ra b'toch beito, kila monea tova mibeito. Whoever keeps like the evil dog in his house, like keeping tova. So Rashi learns over there that the aniyim are afraid to come to the house because the dog is like barking and things like that. So he's keeping tova away from the household. So the so we'll talk about dogs in a minute. Okay, who's with questions, comments, thoughts? So again, so we had a whole discussion whether Chatzi Nezek is mamon or kenas, and Rav Huna Rabbi Yeshua held that it was kenas, and the Gemara ends up concluding that indeed it's kenas. So that's where it's kenas. And in Babel, they don't judge Dine Knasset. Okay, who's your questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? All right, let's wrap up the parak, and we'll do a little the next mission, and then we'll do a little piece about dogs, if people are in the mood for it, and then that'll be it for the evening, okay? So, Hadron Laka Unarot, Yeshuach, you will complete the three prakim, and Subas, you're on your way, and the seams at the end of October. Okay, now, just 2.5 months from now. Yeah, that's it. Now, okay, now, Narod, Narosh, Pasta, Bosta, Bekamu, Knas, Shalavia. Now, again, we're going over a little what we did. If you have a young girl, a young Nara, we know is a term of art, that she was seduced, the Boshet and the Kham and the Kanas go to the father. The Hatsar B'Tfusa. Now, Tsar B'Tfusa, so Tfusa, Rashi says, is from the word, it means the onus case. Tfusa is onus. It says, Utfasa B'Shkavima. If a man finds a girl, he grabs her and he rapes her. So, Utfasar B'Tfusa. So, Tsar is Tsar is the pain. What's wrong?
Right.
Okay, but Tsar B'Tfusa. Now, Amda B'din at Shlomei Da'av. Now, if she goes to a Din Torah before the father died, Harein Shal'av, so then that belongs to the father. Meid Ha'av, if she goes to Din, and the father had in other words, let's say she goes to Din, the father's alive, and then the father dies. He says, Harehin Shalachin. That's already like it's part of the estate. So that money goes to the brothers who were the Yorshim. Lo speak Lamod Badin. But if before she went to a Din Torah, a Shemeda Av, the father died before the Din Torah, Harehin Shalachin. Then it belongs to her. Okay, now, Amda Badin Achlo Bagra. Let's say she went to a Din Torah before she came in Bulgaret, Harehin Shalav. He says, then it belongs to the father. Meid ha'av harein shalachin. Again, the same thing. It belongs to the brothers. Lo hispik alamod b'din at shabagra. If before she goes to a din Torah, she's already a bogeret. In other words, at the time she was raped, she was a nara, and then until she goes to a din Torah, she's a bogeret. Harein shalatzma. That's her money now. Rabbi Shimon Omer, in lo speaka l'gabod, at shemeid ha'av, harein shalatzma. So again, the earlier Tana held, the key is, did she go to a Din Torah? Was the father alive at the time of the Din Torah? Rav Shimon says the key element is when the money is collected. So Rav Shimon says, in lo speaka l'gabod, if she wasn't able to collect the money that's due, at shemeid ha'av, in other words, the father died, harein shalatzma, belongs to her. Now the top line on Membeis Baralef, Ma'asei der Metziata Afkisol Gavta, Ma'asei der means that which she produces, and her Metzia, Afkisol Gavta, even though she didn't collect the salary for it, that belongs to the father. Meid Ha'av, Harein Shel Achim, then it belongs to the brothers. Okay, we'll go over this again, Blina, tomorrow. Let me just do a little bit
of Who determines the timing of when she's Omedet Din?
So I would assume it depends a lot of variables. One is to, you know, you want to get the perpetrator and I don't know, then you're getting the best of them together. I don't know what to say.
In other words, if her father is a ghost ace, can she put it off so that it's her money?
Oh.
Does she have any control? Something like that. It does not be a ghost ace per se.
Yeah, I hear. Well, again, we're talking about a very young girl. I So, I'll try to go over this report tomorrow. Okay. What's up?
The reason we're not doing this at the time of the incident, I mean, why does it have to be at the time of the day? Maybe that takes longer. At the time, what is
the issue is when do the rites vest? Do the rites vest at the time? The time of the comment is saying the rites vest at Hamadat Din. And then the Rav Shimon says when the money's collected. That's what he says.
Not at the time of the incident? I mean, logically, it would make sense.
That's not the way he's saying.
Right, well, is saying that.
Okay. All right. Let me just do a little bit about the having a dog. So Shulchan Aruch rules prohibits to raise a ferocious dog unless it is restrained on by an iron chain. When it lives near the border, which is in constant danger of attacks from the other side of the border, it's permitted to raise ferocious dogs, but they may only be set loose at night. The Ramah adds that according to some opinions, since Jews lived amongst hostile, often anti-Semitic neighbors, the custom belt permit raising ferocious dogs. If, however, there's a concern that the ferocious dog may attack and harm people, it must be restrained with an iron chain. The Shulchan Aruch Rav notes that the definition of ferocious dog includes a dog that barks. The reason a barking dog is considered ferocious is that there's a concern that the barking may frighten a pregnant woman and cause her to miscarry. One is permitted to raise a dog that does not bark or bite, although Yaakov Emden writes strongly against dog ownership unless it is for the purpose of providing protection for one's family or property. Suppose we can debate how to categorize a dog that doesn't bark. But anyway, the main thing is you realize it's like an issue that
the fact that somebody could miscarry to get scared of a dog barking dog.
It means like people again. There's two things. One is the pregnant woman. Then the Gemara also says that the dog keeps like Aniyim away from the household.
But I'm saying that is a fact. I mean, a woman would if she hears a barking dog gets scared.
I don't know. Okay, now, I mean, that's what he's saying here. So now, all right, I'm going to leave the rest of this thing. Okay, now, let me call him. Right now, one second. Let me just do this.